Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Buzz, Scott Alexander, Master Control, that the Pelicans are going to pursue all-star guard Kyle Lowry. What do you think about that?
I've known Kyle for a long time. I remember he was in high school. I remember interviewing him in Augusta, Georgia at the Peach Jam. He wasn't a huge prospect. I mean, he went to Connecticut, but Sebastian Telfair was like the superstar guard coming out that class, which was 2004. That's Dwight Howard. That's when nine players went to the NBA. But Kyle Lowry was just another player, a good one, but, you know, not even a top 10 point guard. But I think he's become an amazing pro. He's tough. He's a guy that can lead this team. He's grown immensely over the last, say, 5-6 years. NBA champion, and they don't win it without him. I mean, he and two other guys. Obviously, Kawhi's the main figure there, and Van Vliet was great. But Kyle Lowry's a warrior now. I mean, this guy gives his heart and soul to every play, and this team needs a leader. And that's not a bad choice right there. I'd prefer Damian Lillard like everybody else in basketball circles would, but, you know, Kyle Lowry's a tough guy, and I think he'd be a great addition to this team.
I played earlier Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo is how I
say it. Antetokounmpo.
That's it.
Anyway, I've been practicing.
Yeah.
It's a tongue twister. Anyway.
I have to think about it every single time.
Yeah, me too. It's one of the few names that I got to go, all right. Anyway, the Greek freak, Giannis. Right. I think he's arrived at a point where we can go by his first name and you know who we're talking about.
I mean, there's only one other Giannis, and it's Yanni.
Right.
The new age music. So right. We go with Giannis.
Yeah. So anyway, I played that earlier, Scott. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. What I want to do, though, is play what he said about living in the past. I mean, I think it's an amazing insight. And he talks about no ego. I'm going to turn it over to him. This is pretty incredible the way he puts it. And oh, by the way, English is his second language. So for him to be able to communicate it effectively says even more about just how good of a dude he is. I called Scott earlier. I'm going to get to the bite. But I called Scott earlier. I said, look, I just fell in love with Giannis. Based on this sound clip that I'm about to play, it's phenomenal. Here it is.
You know, I've covered plenty of players who didn't seem like they figured the ego part out until their 30s. I mean, who taught you about why that's important and to handle it that way?
I think I'll say life. Usually, let me tell you this. Usually when, from my experience, right? Like when I think about like, oh yeah, you know, I'm so great. I had 30, I had 25, 10 and 10, or whatever the case might be. Because right. You're going to think about that. Oh, we won this and that. Usually the next day, you're going to suck.
Right.
You know, simple as that. You like the next few days, you're going to be terrible. Like a mindset to have that, like when you focus on the past, that's your ego. I did this. You know, we were able to, you know, beat this team 4-0. I did this in the past. I won that in the past. Mm. And when I focus in the future, it's my pride. Like, yeah, next game five, I do this and this and this. Right. You know, I'm going dumb. That's your pride talking. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, you're right here. And I kind of, like, try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present. And that's humility. That's being humble. That's not setting no expectation. That's going out there, enjoying the game, competing at a high level. And I think I've had people throughout my life that helped me with that. But that's a skill that I've tried to, like, kind of, how you say, kind of, like, perfect it. Master it. And it's been working so far.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stop.
You're doing okay.
That's the Greek freak. And when I heard this today, I was like, he's so on the money. Because think about it. I'm going to get you in, Scotty, in a second. But everything that has been great about your life or any accomplishment that you've had, you think about it, right? You reflect upon it for a long time. And sometimes it affects your future success. And one of the regrets I have is anything great that's happened in my life, whether it's an accomplishment, my children being born, things like that, I didn't live in the moment enough. I didn't take it in enough, you know? And I think that that's sage advice for kids and adults. Live in the moment a little bit more. And don't think about your past accomplishments as much. Because he's right. You get too full of yourself. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. You think you've arrived, and you show up, and not so fast, right? Something happens to show you you're not that good. I could have a great radio show and think, hey, man, I just really figured this thing out, and then deliver two bad shows in the next 2 days. Because I spent too much time thinking about how great Thursday's show was, I'm not worried about Friday. I'm thinking, I could just go out there and repeat it. Autopilot. Scott Alexander at Master Control. When you heard this from Giannis, I'm sure you had a similar reaction I did, which is, hey, absolutely nailed it. Live in the moment more.
Yeah, he is 26 years old. I mean, he's the young guy on this team. I mean, this is a veteran team, and for him to be this wise and this sage and kind of get the big picture, the it factor, I mean, he's got it. I mean, and it's hard to keep that attitude. You nailed it on the head, Christian, with what you just said. I can tell you, up to 35, nothing went wrong hardly ever in my life. And then you think you're great, and all of a sudden you get your knees clipped out a few times, and you realize you're not that great. You realize that, you know, there's bigger, better things out there than you. And you get humbled, you know. And Giannis has been humbled a little bit in the last few years. I mean, they were the heavy favorite to go to the finals, and they got knocked out early, very early. So that's why I like this team and their hunger, because you go, this is now a guy that's been in the league now 6 years or so, but his last four have been grizzled, right? And these other dudes are all veterans, and they're super hungry. P.J. Tucker is the unsung guy in the starting lineup, but he's 36, and he's been close a lot. He wants a championship. Obviously, we all know CP3 is the hungriest out there probably. He's 36 as well and a superstar and yet to get one. But when you look at Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez, these are all dudes 30 and above. I think Middleton might be almost 30, but the other guys are, and same with Jrue. But the other two have been around for a long, long time along with Tucker. So I love that the leader on this team is the youngest of the group, and he's also just a phenomenal athlete, but he's also got the right thing in his emotion and his head as well.
My middle son is talented, okay, athletically. And he tends to – I got to pull him back sometimes. You know, he tends to get – yeah, Dad, you remember that game I did this? And I'm like, yeah. And sometimes he'll make a self-centered comment like, you know, I won the game for us. And I got – so I sent him this clip about living in the moment and living with some humility. Because, look, your greatest charge, I think, as parents is forget about how skilled they are athletically, push them academically, and try to raise them to be good human beings that are humble, that have some humility, know how to understand and take compliments and not take those compliments to the point to where it becomes arrogance. So I can relate to this, and I'm really glad that he had that perspective. And I knew he was 26, but for you to point it out that – now, this is coming from a 26-year-old. I'm 43, and I've been through some things, but I would never have been able to put it like he did.
Few of us would. I mean, few of us would.
His
I mean,
maturity is beyond his years.
He's a remarkable young man and a great player. Two-time MVP. I mean, there's not many of those in the league, by the way. I mean, that have ever been in the league. I mean, there's a handful, but not many.
I wonder if LeBron heard that.
Sure he heard it.
Did you see LeBron? Did LeBron sneak in some tequila to game five?
I mean, he's got that right. I mean, you know.
No, he does not.
I mean, I don't know. They're not serving drinks at the thing? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, but.
Oh, did he sneak it in himself?
I haven't
heard any of that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, apparently there's pictures of him ringside with a bottle of his own tequila that you know, the one he endorses underneath his seat. Some photographers saw it, snapped a couple of pictures, and, well, LeBron had some explaining to do, but not really. Nobody's going to ask him any tough questions anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. People are drinking. He doesn't like the garbage they still have at the game, so he got his own. He's LeBron James.
Yeah, look.
Let's give him a pass on this one.
No, and here's the deal. If you every walk of life, though, the ultra rich and celebrity get away with, fact of the matter, they get away with a lot more than the average person. They just do. It comes with the territory. So I'm not all up in arms over it. I just thought it was kind of astute that some of these photographers were like, hey, wait a minute.
You know, well, the cameras are always on him, and it's hard to hide a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sure it's going to get found out. I didn't notice that. I watched the entire game. I guess I didn't pay that close attention.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't have an issue with it. Again, you know, these star athletes get – they have a different set of rules at times that the average person, you know, doesn't get those luxuries.
As long as he's not breaking real laws. I mean, he's not hurting anybody. Yeah. He's just having a little fun.
Yeah. But I don't agree with his ability to just freely sneak in. But if he can get away with it, then he gets away with it. Let's get to the NBA Finals. So the Bucks take a 3-2 lead over the Suns on Saturday. You were very, very calm and collected when – the Bucks fell down to the Suns 2-0. I remember in our office, you, me, and Bobby, you were kind of wagging your finger like, hey, you know, don't panic, don't bury the Bucks. What gave you that confidence to know the series was far from over?
I felt the game three was an automatic. I thought that was going to be
why?
Because it's a natural letdown, first of all, to have two double-digit wins, which really weren't that big of, I mean, like that second game was very, very close. It just happened to end at 10 points. But I felt that they were going to easily win game three. And then I said, okay, game four. I remember I was sitting here on Thursday and I said, this is a pivotal one here because if they win this one, I think they're going to take the series. I fully believed it at that point. And I thought they were going to win that one. But I just knew that at home, they don't lose very often. I mean, they don't. I mean, Phoenix is young. The difference between Phoenix and this team is that this team's got one young player, 26 years old, that happened to have gone through a lot of playoff experience. That's unusual for a guy his age to go so deep most of the time until last year they got beat early. Phoenix has one guy that's really experienced that isn't in their core. I mean, Booker's still very young. Ayton's even younger. And the other guys on Milwaukee are, like I said, hungry, hungry veterans that can play. And once they got the legs under them, I mean, game five was everything it was built up to be. Phoenix got that 16-point lead. I wasn't sure. I did take Milwaukee on the money line. I felt they would win, but I wasn't sure of it by any means. And they were down 16. I'm like, well, this is looking bad. And then they outscore them by 26 over the next two quarters to make a 10-point game. And the reason I think Phoenix has a great chance to win in Milwaukee tomorrow is the way they clawed and fought back after being down 10. They got that game within one with a minute to go. And they showed me a lot of moxie, much like how – same premise I gave you with Milwaukee in game two. They lost, but the way they came and they fought back and they got that game pretty close towards the end, and if not for Connaughton missing a three that was wide open, that would have cut the game, lead to 2 or 3 with a couple minutes left. It would have been a different outcome, at least by the points. You see the final score, you see a 10-point victory, you think, oh, it's a mini blowout. It wasn't. And I feel the same way about the way Phoenix ended this one. I really feel they're going to show up in Milwaukee tomorrow. They're not pulling in their camping gear and going fishing. They're going to play, and I feel that they have a very good shot at winning game six, and we'll see a game seven possibly.
When a series was tied at 2 games apiece, you had a stat about game five winners in the NBA.
72%. But that leaves 28%. So if you're 72% free throw shooter, that's not great in the NBA. Might be when you're biddy ball team. So that's 28% chance. Now the game 3-2, it becomes bigger. Now you're down 3-2, which is, like I said, I guess the same thing, 72%. But I really don't think Chris Paul is going to pull this team together. I think he has a huge game, and I thought he had a pretty good game, particularly early on against in game five. He had 21 points and 11 assists. But he's going to show some leadership. I'm really torn on this one tomorrow. For the really kind of the first time, game two I was wrong. Game one I got right. Game, obviously, 3, 4, and 5 I got right. But I'm very torn on this one.
Well, listen, there's a lot of things about this NBA Finals, and I talked about it a little bit leading into the Finals that intrigued me more than others in the past, is because it's the first one since 2011 without a LeBron or Steph in it, right? And I think that's good for the game.
Great for the game.
And there's this budding young – he's not budding – a mega superstar in the Greek Freak that has been the MVP but not been or won the finals. And then there's Chris Paul and Monty Williams, the Pelicans connections. And then the Pelicans' next head coach is likely going to be from the Phoenix Suns. So there's a lot of intrigue here.
Let me take you back to a week and a half ago. We weren't even sure he was going to play, like, at all.
Chris Paul.
Well, no. I'm talking about Giannis. Remember, he was hurt.
That's right.
And
yeah,
he was having issues. He ended up scoring 20 points in the first game, and they were like, everybody was writing it off. Oh, he looks terrible. Then he comes back with the two 40-point games. He's averaged 35 over the last four games, and now we're talking a complete different thing. This whole scenario is like he might be the greatest since Kareem and all these guys. How crazy in sports a week changes everything, and it happens in every sport. That's why I never get too high or too low when things are going. I never get on bandwagons because I see them crash all the time.
Yeah, they do. 41 years, I believe, four decades since the Bucks won an NBA title. The Suns never have won an NBA title. That's why I think games 6 and 7 are going to be highly viewed. I think they're going to be watched. Opposed to, you know, we hear all this talk about the finals, the Western and Eastern Conference finals, ratings are down. I think game 6, and if there's a game 7, the ratings are going to be pretty strong.
It's a half a century. It's been 50 years on the nose since Milwaukee won. That was with Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar,
Oscar Robertson, McLaughlin. I can give you the rest of them if you want. But, you know, Phoenix, I remember 76, they lost the game 7 to the Celtics, and I remember in 93 with Barkley and all those guys, when Paxson broke their heart with that shot and the Bulls got the three-peat, they had a great chance. This could happen again, but I like I said, they're going to – it could be a game 7. It could be very exciting next 2 days, and I think the ratings will be very high. I agree.
Okay, so say Giannis gets it, right? Two-time MVP, gets his first NBA final. Do you think he can build in a smaller market, build more pieces around him?
Definitely. It's happened in San Antonio. It just needs momentum. You know, it's like happened in New Orleans for football. I mean, he gets that first championship. Now he's Drew Brees, right? Drew didn't even have two MVPs.
Comeback player of the year. That's it.
Offensive player of the year once too, yeah. But in 2011, but not an MVP. So he's in that category. And then he can build on, once you get the multiples, which obviously Drew and Sean Payton got cheated out of that with the no-call game, then you start talking legacy. But he's building it. The kid's 26 years old. Keep that in mind. He can build something in Milwaukee because now he signed the long-term deal, and now people will start gravitating. And ironically, the head coach of Milwaukee was a disciple from San Antonio under Popovich. And so Budenholzer has done a great job, and that was the other thing. People were talking about if he didn't win the Eastern Conference championship when they beat, you know, obviously they had to get by the Nets first to even get there, and then he had to win the finals against the Hawks. They were talking about people firing him. Now they're naming streets after him. Trust me, the building they play in might be named after him before the season's over.
See, the knock on him had been he doesn't make in-game adjustments very well. Is that incorrect? Has he coached well, you think, in this finals?
I wanted to put an ice pick in my brain every time I heard that because this dude has won 60 games how many times with teams, and he turned the Hawks around and had them playing great before he even went to Milwaukee. The guy can coach, and any team would be lucky to have him. I mean, that's just nutty talk, and that's just reactionary talk by guys like Stephen A. I mean, they just throw things out there to see what sticks on the wall, and they really – I know he knows basketball. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but
prisoner
it drives me nuts, the prisoners of the moment. Yeah. Exactly.
A prisoner of the moment takes never age well. They just don't. Still to come, we got plenty still to dissect about Game 6 in the NBA Finals tomorrow. And for me, man, this Giannis phenomenon, I always loved him as a player. I knew he could play, but hearing what I heard earlier today makes me pull for him even more. And then it's hard for me to not pull for Chris Paul because of what he did for the city of New Orleans, along with Monty Williams, who coached here and should not have been fired, and then a tragic loss of his wife in a car accident. I mean, there's a lot of feel-good stories potentially.
Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday's not.
That's the one. I just felt so bad for him because he was great in great defense. That doesn't show up on stat sheets. So, you know, oh, good job on that. But the proof is in the box score, right? And he lit that box score up. When I saw he was 8 of 11 in the first half of this game, he hit his next three shots in the second half. He had 18 points and 7 at the end of the first half. Ended up with 27, 13 assists, and great shooting as well. I just felt so happy for him because – I didn't want him to get blamed for losing. And now they can't. They can't. Right. He put him back in it.
Yeah, I remember Bobby saying that. He's not a dog. He's not a dog. He's been a dog here lately.
He's a dog.
All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.